set. Could you tell me how you first got involved, Ms. Gauls, with the movement? I mean, how did you get connected with it in the first place?
Well, that's rather a difficult question, they say. It was my mother, who was a very typical Edwardian lady, I suppose, took me one night to a meeting that was being addressed by Dr. Garrett Anderson. I was in my early teens, so they didn't really register very much with me. But one night, when I was exercising my dog in the village, a few years later, I found a body of women orating from a lorry, and they induced me to join. And I didn't realize then that it was the WSBU. And I got more and more interested and did some quite active work, such as addressing meetings at works and so on. And eventually I was induced to go on this deputation to Mr. Asquith. It was to take a bundle of
petitions
to Mr. Asquith, who was a very hard nut, you know, very keen anti-suffrage. And we weren't allowed to get through the gates of the Parliament buildings. And eventually I was arrested, put on bail, and the next morning we were brought up to the court, and we were released. As it happened, Mr. Who was
Eddie Lawrence?
I forget who was the secretary then.
Home Secretary, you mean?
It was Mr. Chamberlain.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And we were allowed to go. So it was decided that we should try again the following night. Well, the same program followed. We were eventually arrested. Next morning, we were released again, because the powers had been decided they weren't going to make martyrs of us. And we tried a third time. Well, the third night, I was walking next to a woman from Newcastle, a Mrs. Brown, who was a very delicate, highly strung person. And the policeman, who was beginning to arrest her, I thought was very rough. So I pummeled him, told him to let her go, and I was arrested again. But this time I was charged with assaulting the police.
More serious.
Which was not obstructing, you see, but assaulting. We were taken before Sir Albert de Rutzen, who was apparently a very old man. And when I was put up in the dock, he said, "This is a very dangerous woman." But still again, we were allowed to go free. And we didn't try again. I don't know, one thing happened after another. But I was never arrested again. I was just arrested those three times. But I and some of the other people went all over the North Country to by-elections. We rather specialised in by-elections, telling people to keep the Liberal out. And we had, I think, a certain effect, because everyone, practically everyone, agreed with us. There were a few strange people who thought women shouldn't have the vote. But that was actually my main experience. We were very battered, some of us, by hooligans.
We really?
The same sort of people that now are known as vandals, usually young men. I had quite a collection of missiles that were thrown at me from time to time. They have gone. In fact, some of them went to help to build a rockery. And nothing, it's so long ago, nothing of very great interest or excitement happened after that. And I was very much interested lately, comparatively lately, when I was in Addis Ababa to meet Mrs. Pankhurst's grandson.
Oh yes, Richard. Yes.
Richard.
Yes, yes.
Who is or was at the university.
Yes, he's now in London actually.
Oh, is he?
Yes, yes, but he was in Addis Ababa, you're quite right.
Mm.
His wife now runs the Fawcett Library, the you know, the collection on women's history in the City of London Polytechnic.
Oh, does she? Now, yes. I'm very interested in that.
Yes. They've just moved it, you see, from Fawcett House to the City of London Polytechnic. And there's a very good collection of material there on women's history. I mean, if you after you were active in the women's movement, I mean, you were active right up to the First War, were you? I mean, you were...
Yes,
in the WSPU.
We folded up our flags and everybody took to war work of some kind and another.
So what did you do, Miss Balls, then, during the First War yourself?
Well, I had an invalid mother, you know, and an invalid father. And I was never a career woman. I did a very great deal of social work. I can show you evidence of that. That garden round the Black Gate.
That's in Bamborough, is it? Or in Newcastle?
No, in Newcastle.
I see. You're chairman of the Electricity Authority, North Shields.
I'm now a president.
Oh, yeah, yes. Oh, yes.
I was supposed to be going to a dinner this month. I've got out of it. Father was a sailor.
Oh, yeah.
We are a very my grandfather was a sailor.
So you're a nautical family.
While, and I was on the Tyneside Council of Social Service.
Were you really? What, as a full-time employee, were you?
As a full-time organiser.
Were you? Hmm. Well, don't lose these. Put those in there. He was a sailor then, was he?
Yes.
What sort of sailor? Was he a sort of in the Merchant's Navy or...?
He was an ordinary skipper of large steamers. Now, in the Cutty Sark, you know, in London, they have a collection of pictures, and the first one, to show the transition between sail and steam. The first one is a little bark called the William Balls, and the next one is part sail, part steam, and the other are larger and steam, you see. Four of them, all called William Balls.
They're all skippered by your relatives, were they?
All skippered by my relatives and grandparents. And my father retired at 65, I suppose. And like so many men, you know, who retired, he took ill of cancer. And there was a good deal to do at home. I did a good deal of work for the BBC. In fact, twice they asked me to go on full time, but I always felt home came first.
Yes. Were you the only child then, Miss Ball?
I had a brother. There were just two of us. And he went to the war very early, you know, he was only 19. And then he married. So that I was practically the only person at home.
What did your brother do then for a living? Did he go on the sea as well?
No. He used to say he was seasick as soon as he stepped on a boat. No, he went on to the quay, you know, on the business side, but he never went to sea. But he died just last year. He was a little younger than I, three years younger. But you see, we've not had particularly traumatic lives, but I went on to the town council.
In Gateshead, is that all?
No. No, there's always a very great gulf fixed between, I don't know whether you found that, same South Shields. You never knew anyone in South Shields. And the same thing happened up in Gateshead and Jarrow. It's rather different now, you know, but
it was all split up very much in those days, was it? Yes.
For the Newcastle people who retire, move north, you see, Gosforth and so on.
And you were a councillor in South Shields, were you?
Tynemouth.
Tynemouth. I see, yes.
Borough of Tynemouth.
Yes.
I was the only woman councillor for quite a long time. I won the site from Labour. Not that I stood as a parliamentary candidate, I didn't at all. I was always against that. But it was very amusing. I stood against a Labour man and a man who called himself a business candidate. And the business candidate was very scared. He said he didn't like standing against a lady. And I was very pleased to be elected with more votes than both the others put together.
But you were a Conservative in national politics, were you, but an independent locally?
Yes, but I never... It was mooted more than once that I might stand as a parliamentary candidate, but I never worked for the Conservatives. I had a Labour ward, a very, very poor ward. My goodness, I used to work in that ward. I been razed to the ground now, practically. Rebuilt. I don't know who's standing.
What were your parents' names, Christian names, actually?
Mother was Elizabeth. And father was William.
And your mother's family were... Where did they
come from? Mother's family were Rutherfords. And I've always been told that they had their origins in the border gypsies. But I did go up with a friend to try and look at graves and that sort of thing, try to find out what lay at the bottom of it, but I never could. Still, I'm pretty sure that that was the origin, you know.
But your mother's parents, were they...
Mother's parents.
They were rather...
Unkind people say, oh yes, I know, your forebears were sheep stealers.
But they were farmers, were they, the Rutherfords, your mother's parents? Were they country people or what?
No, they were farmers.
Hmm.
The only thing I can find out about a Rutherford doing anything worthwhile was that one, I think, had 24 children.
So where were you living then as a child, Miss Balls? Whereabouts were you living?
Tynemouth.
In Tynemouth all your life, really, until you came here, were you, or...?
Yes.
I see.
The house my father built to retire to is now the vicarage.
Is it really?
Opposite Holy Saviour's Church.
So where did you go to school then, Miss Balls? Where did you go to school? Did you go to school in Tynemouth?
In Tynemouth, yes.
What, a sort of grammar school or...?
No, there was a large girls' private school there. It always did pretty well. Kept by sisters, whose father, I think, was the vicar of Gateshead. I'm not quite sure. It was Miss Herbert's. Everybody, it was anybody, went to Miss Herbert's. They've gone. They've all gone.
So how long did you stay at school then? Till you were 16 or 18?
16.
16. And then what did you do? I mean, there were no careers much for women then, were there? So.
No, I went to classes, I remember. I was very keen on painting then. And music, of course. And drama. I was always very busy. I was the first secretary of the Women's Citizens Association.
Were you really?
And then I was bullied into going on to the town council. And then I was made a magistrate. But I always was full up.
So you said you did quite a lot of social work when you were a young woman. What sort of social work did you do then? Was it charity organisation or...?
Well, it was the Council of Social Service. And then when the Marshall Plan came into being, and some money was given to the Tyneside Council, they looked round for extra staff, you see, and I was asked to organise women's classes in Wall's End. And I ran youth clubs and all sorts of things.
So you made yourself useful generally, really?
Yes.
Yes. But your mother, was your mother a feminist or in the women's movement at all?
No, she was secretary of the Women's Guild of the...
Towns Women's Guild? Or?
Provincial Cruelty to Children.
Oh, yes, yes.
And also the lifeboat. Then, since I retired, I was chairman of our local electricity undertaking. And apparently the government, rather mistakenly, thought that as I was chairman of the National Women's Electrical Association, and I was also chairman of a local authority, I must know all about electricity. And so I was one of the first two women put on the electrical boards. And I had a very interesting time. Now, Lady Parsons was a very keen suffragette. She was never militant, you see. And when we got the vote, she was asked to start the Girl Guide movement. And so she asked me to help her. And I was made the first county secretary. Well, there were 200 guides when we began. And when I left, 20 years later, there were 5,000. And that was a very busy existence. Yes. Now, before I left Tynemouth to retire to Bamborough, I was on 28 committees.
Are you really?
And I overheard one of the old councillors, actually an alderman, by what a mayor should make. And I knew pretty well that if I allowed myself to be made mayor, I should go on being mayor for the rest of my life.
So you thought you should retire?
So I thought. And then, of course, during the war, maybe I keep remembering the things that I did. During the war, I was an air raid warden. I was air raid warden for the village. On duty sometimes, night after night, until early morning. And then during the day, I worked for the Ministry of Information.
Did you really? Did you? What, as a civil servant? Or?
Going about, talking about our allies and different countries, because I'd often sailed with father, and I knew the countries of Europe perhaps better than most people. Then, of course, after I retired and he died, I went further still. By the time I was finished and could fly, I'd been nearly all over the world.
But what did your parents think about your joining the WSPU? Did they approve, or what was their attitude?
They didn't at first, they were doubtful. But they did. My father was very keen.
Was he? Mm. Was he? He supported woman suffrage, didn't
yes.
he?
Yes. And so was mother. She always had as a prim middle class way, you know. But they got quite interested. Became very fond, I remember, of Mrs. The Scotswoman. Plump woman.
Mr. Drummond?
Mrs. Drummond.
Yes.
Drummy. Adela Bankhurst stayed with us. But, you know, Mrs. Drummond was a very sensible woman. Of course, I hate destruction and I hate violence. And temperamentally, I could never do that.
Did they ask you to do...
They never really asked me. Because at that time, I was quite a good speaker. And that was my job. I went all over the north. I remember addressing an enormous meeting from the Mound in Edinburgh, and we went all over like that.
How did you learn to speak first in public, Miss Balls?
I think experience from a lorry along the Scotswood Road in front of the pubs.
Yes, you said you held meetings outside the pubs. This was in Tynemouth, was it, Newcastle?
No, that was along the Scotswood Road when the Armstrong workmen came out.
Now, you must tell me where the Scotswood Road is. I'm a Londoner.
That's where the big Armstrong works are.
I see.
And thousands of men used to come out, you know, the early, late afternoon and early evening. And public houses was where you were pretty sure to find them.
So what would you do? You'd set up a platform, would you, outside public
houses? A lorry, or sometimes borrowed boxes from the pubs, beer boxes and so on. And in the country we used to go about on bicycles very often. And then sell the suffrage papers.
Votes for Women. Yes. But did the publicans encourage you to set up outside their
premises? Oh, they didn't
premises?
Seem to mind.
Because I think you
never had any difficulty. They never tried to. I think there was always a tremendous amount of sympathy along places like that, you know.
Was there? So how did you get an audience then when you were speaking in Scotswood Road?
Well, you soon got an audience of small boys to start with, who came from goodness knows where, from out of the ground. We never lacked an audience. And of course, we were pretty sensible in that way. We always started off where we felt sure we would get an audience.
And that's where you learned to speak, was it? On WSPU platforms?
Yes, I think, guys. The first time I ever spoke in public was to take the chair of Mrs. Bankhurst. They were having what they called a mass meeting in a hall, the South Shields by-election, and the chairman disappointed them, and Mrs. Bankhurst, no one ever seemed to contradict Mrs. Bankhurst. Mrs. Pankhurst said, Nora Balls shall take the chair. Oh, I was terrified. And when she said afterwards, you did very well. If you'd given me £1 million, you know, you couldn't have thrilled me more. So that was my baptism of fire.
You broke the ice that way, really.
Yes.
And then you spoke quite a lot after that.
Oh, yes. Yes. Then I got to know Lady Parsons very well, and I stayed with them pretty often. They had a lovely little house made out of 3 cottages on the moors, and there I used to see quite a lot of Sir Charles.
Did you?
Quiet little man. And you know, he was a wonderful inventor. Wonderful. And I came to the conclusion that his secret was concentration. Because they used to have the children of a relative staying with them. And if they were noisy in their play, Lady Parsons would say, go and play in Uncle Charlie's room. And they had a wonderful parrot. And when the parrot was noisy, put the bird in Sir Charles' room. And Sir Charles used to sit at his desk, and it didn't seem to make the slightest difference, with masses of papers with little twiggles on them. Then, when the association, Electrical Association for Women, was formed, I became the first chairman in Newcastle.
So you were quite used to taking a meeting by that time, I suppose.
Oh, yes, yes. And I've been chairman and now the president, for 50 years.
Have you really?
They're having their 50th birthday celebration in a fortnight's time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going, but I regretfully cancelled it yesterday. Because my brother, just a short time ago, well, when I say short time now, a couple of years, was entertaining some friends at the station hotel and just slipped under the table.
Very much, did they? They couldn't have, your parents couldn't have liked it very much when you were arrested, did they? They must have been worried about that.
Well, they wouldn't know.
They didn't know?
Oh, no. See, that was in London and they lived in Tynemouth.
I see, so you never told them that you were arrested?
Well, I told them afterwards, after I got home.
What was their attitude, Miss Balls, when you got home and you told them?
Well, I think they felt that as things were going, this was the obvious business. It was bound to come sooner or later.
So they weren't worried?
They weren't, I don't think they were worried.
No. But you said you did quite a lot of by-election work as well for the WSPU.
Mm.
What did you have to do in a by-election? What was involved in WSPU work in by-elections?
Well, there was that poster parade, you see, around all the, and we were in that. And we used to sell the paper, sell badges and hold little meetings at street corners, do a lot of chalking on pavements. There was always plenty to do.
And you were an organiser, were you?
I wasn't an organiser for the WSPU.
You just
helped. I was a voluntary worker.
I see, yes, yes.
You see, we didn't get paid for that. There's no money. Although there were some people like Lady Parsons who were very generous with contributions. They would give money, you see, but they didn't want to be known. There were, of course, exceptions. Lady Constance Lytton, for instance.
Yes. Did you ever meet her?
Yes, she came up to Newcastle. She came in disguise the second time, you know, and was arrested. She was very, very militant. I think, so far as I know, you see, Mrs. Luthwaite wasn't a member of our branch. That's why I never came in contact with her. I think she was on the other side of the water. But I think all our people now are dead. I think I'm the only one left.
Yes, I think you probably are. Did you actually belong to the Tynemouth branch of the WSPU?
No, to Newcastle branch.
Newcastle,
yes.
I see.
Yes. And I didn't really know anyone in the country except Lady Parsons and Mrs. Taylor, Chipchase Castle. She also was very generous, and her daughter and I used to go to by-elections together to hold meetings. And her daughter died just last year.
Did she really?
Yes, I'm afraid they've all gone.
Were there any non-militants in Newcastle, non-militant suffragists, you know, in the National Union?
Oh, yes.
Were there?
Mm. Yes, there was Dr. Ethel Williams, for instance.
Did you get on well with each other, the militants and the non-militants, in Newcastle?
Oh, yes, on the whole. The non-militants, when women got the vote, few years ago, the university people asked me to go and made me an honorary member of the university.
Really?
Yes. The women's side, of course.
Yes.
I got a communication from them this morning. They still keep in touch with me.
But there wasn't any argument then locally between militants and non-militants.
No.
They got on quite well together, you think?
Well, we didn't have joint meetings, but they did. Dr. Ethel Williams, I stayed with her many times. She was a wonderful woman. She was one of the very early women doctors up in the north. Well, she's been dead many years.
What about aunties? Was there an organisation of aunties in Newcastle as well? Anti-suffrage?
I don't think so. Mm. There were quite a number of aunties. Mm. Some people were so terribly anti They almost do their skirts, you know, when I passed. I remember, this was in London, staying at a private hotel, and the proprietor said to my mother, "Oh, I mustn't let her sit near my daughter." You see, the young people were coming on, getting rather restive about the long, long wait.
What did your mother say when the proprietor said that?
Oh, I think she just laughed. We used to take it quite philosophically. We weren't... we were a very quiet family. We always did work hard, though, for... I've always, since my school days, worked for various causes. But I'm afraid now I've got so fed up with people that I'm working for animals.
You mentioned that your meetings were quite often broken up or people threw stones and things at you. Were they organised, people? Were they coordinated by anybody?
No, I don't think so. Mm. No more than... I was going to say no more than you get now. But they were usually young roughs, about 17 or 18, you know. No, I don't think there was any feeling like that. Not in the North, anyhow.
They just do it for fun, do you think, really? I mean, they didn't know much about it.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So how did you deal with opposition like that? Did you develop techniques for dealing with people like that as a speaker?
Well, you know, Mrs. Pankhurst was very, very witty and very clever. She always had a repartee. But I used to keep some of the missiles just to show people how thoughtless these folk could be. There'd be a piece of slate, for instance, which could have caused very bad damage. I was never really hurt. It was falling off my bicycle. But they did try to hurt you, some of these young men. The worst I ever encountered was in Yorkshire. At a, I think it was a quarry, where they threw quite large stones at us. Oh, it was always experience.
You saw quite a lot of Mrs. Pankhurst behind the scenes, really, did you then? I mean, informally.
Yes.
Did she, what? How did she strike you as a woman when you met her?
Well, we all thought she was wonderful. You know, she after we got the vote, she stood as a Conservative candidate.
Yes, she did, yes.
I should say she was a very conservative woman in the best sense of the word, you know.
What about dress and conduct, you mean, that sort of thing?
Yes, old-fashioned.
Yes.
The girls were rather different. You see, Sylvia lived with this man for years because
yes.
I don't think she ever thought of marrying him.
Mm.
So she was before her time.
Mm. But you say you admired Mrs. Pankhurst a lot in the movement. What did you admire her for, especially then? Why did you admire her so much? Just because she was so brave and courageous, or was there anything else than that?
Well, she was a most magnetic speaker, you know. And she was always very dignified. I couldn't pick out any particular trait.